So, brethren, how many of you enjoy this time of year? You know, the days are short, the nights are long. Seems there's not enough daylight to get anything done. It's getting a little better now that we're past that winter solstice, but not to mention the weather. How many of us really enjoyed that a week ago, that ice and snow and wind? And ladies, I don't know how you do it in dresses and heels and skirts, right, this time of year. But on the flip side, how many of us enjoy those dog days of summer when it's 110 degrees? The days are long and the nights are short. Still, you just seem like there's not enough time to get everything done. You stay outside till 9 p.m. and come in and go to bed, you know. But you take a shower and clean up. As soon as you step outside, you're sweating. It's lovely. And during that time of year, I'm about ready to cut this thing up, sew it into a skirt, and use my tie for a belt, okay? So it's not real pleasant, is it? So how many of you, just speaking about the weather this last week or this last year, you know, maybe you've loved it. How many of you kind of complained about it? Or maybe you complain when it's hot. Seems there's always something to complain about with the weather alone, isn't there? It's too hot, it's too dry, it's too wet, it's too humid, it's too windy, too muggy. I would say it'd be a pretty safe bet that probably everyone has complained to some extent about the weather in the last year, some point. Well, as I mentioned, you know, in other times, and most of you know, Brittany and I live on a little farm, and we enjoy reading and listening and watching other farm, you know, videos and topics. So the other day, I was listening to a guy, and he was talking about another farmer that he knew who was older than him, who grew up during the Dust Bowl. Okay, and I'm just going to paraphrase this story, but it's pretty close to exactly what it was said, close enough to make the point. So this old farmer recalled when he was a kid during the Dust Bowl, and he was telling this other gentleman whose video I was watching, he said, yeah, it was bad. He said, everybody knew it was bad. There weren't any crops. There wasn't any forage for the livestock. There wasn't any water. You tape your windows up, and in the morning, the tables, everything's covered with dust still. But he said, you know, at night, I remember everyone would go to town. You'd pile in a truck, and you'd go to town to visit. And he said, at that time still, you know, the men would sit on one side of the street and the women on the other. But he said, no matter how bad it was, you didn't say anything about it. You didn't complain how dry it was, how dusty it was, or you got the consternation of the whole group. And remember, the farmer at that time was a boy, right? He wasn't an adult. And he said that if he complained about how hot it was, his dad would get the switch out and tell him. He said, I don't want to hear it. He said, you're complaining about something you have no control over. And all you're doing is killing the mood. You're bringing down the mood. So it's pretty good, I think. Something to think about. Why do we complain about things we have no control over? Moreover, why do we complain at all? Right? How much has complaining ever really changed anything? And when you stop and think about it, it really just kind of brings down the mood, doesn't it? Well, I'd been stewing on this concept for a little while, and I'd heard this story and been thinking about some other things. And then thanks to the inspiration of my kids, who aren't here today, but they will get to listen to this, believe me, okay? Then it really just came together. You see, kids, just like adults, can find plenty to complain about, don't they? Don't we? Kids. In fact, at certain ages, it seems like kids can complain just about nearly everything. I don't want to eat this. I don't like that. I don't want to go take a bath. I don't want to brush my teeth. I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to go to school. The list can go on and on and on, right? Well, one day, within the last few weeks, I was off from work, and I told the boys, your mom and I need to get some things done around the house. You know, we had some projects to do, and if we do, then we need to go to the lumber yard this evening. But if it all goes well, we'll take off a little early. We'll go by the park, maybe grab a bite to eat in town, whatever the case may be. So everything went pretty well that day. A little bit of the normal complaining that you have with three boys in a home, but overall a pretty good day. And then I said, okay, time to get ready, time to get ready to go. One of those boys of mine asked what vehicle we were taking. And I said, well, we're going to take the old work truck because we needed the long bed to get quite a bit of wood in, right? Complaint city. There's no room in there. I don't like it. They're too close to me, and I can't get them. It's tight in the back, you know. It's not a four-door. It's just a half, one-and-a-half extended cab, you know. Set me off. And I'll tell you a little bit more about how it went, but I'll tell you now that we didn't go to town that day and had a little family meeting later. So if you haven't guessed, my topic for today is complaining. And if you're into titles, you want one, I didn't really come up with things, so just call it Quit Complaining. And in various ways, brethren, this is something we've all heard about before, isn't it? Messages about how we should be thankful and content. Remember that trials have their purpose. And we've studied from time to time about the complaining of Israel and the backsliding. And we'll pull into some of that, obviously, as we go through this. But today, I want to take an even more pointed look at this topic of complaining to help us realize how big of a problem it really is. And as we get started, let's just kind of get our mind focused on it. Not that this is something we don't understand, but I thought it'd be good to just remember, what exactly is complaining? So according to Google, it is expressing dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. According to Cambridge, it is to say something is wrong and not satisfactory. And Merriam-Webster, to express grief, pain, or discontent. So to be dissatisfied, annoyed, discontent, unsatisfactory, they're all the same. Just different ways of saying the same thing, right? And we know that. That's what complaining is. So have any of you been annoyed this week? Maybe today? Have you expressed dissatisfaction with someone, something, some event? Or just been, in general, discontent with the circumstances that you're in? To you, I ask if that's happened this week. To myself, it's more appropriate to ask if there's a day that it hasn't happened, right? I say that kind of facetiously, but it's the truth. It's unfortunately the reality. I had to stop and think about it, and I realized there's probably not a single day that goes by that I really don't complain about something. It's kind of embarrassing. I know I'm probably not alone, but it is the reality of our human nature, isn't it? So be open with yourself and think about it. You know, I am not talking to anyone here in particular. There's no targets. Everybody should know that. I shouldn't need to say that, but I do. Traffic gets you upset. Complain about that. Stop to the light. Coworkers, supervisors, customers. You know, for me, a lot of the clients that I work with in the mortgage industry are something to complain about, I guess. Gas pumps not working, nothing like that. You get the slowest pump in the state when it's negative 10 and the wind's blowing. Or you need to go to the store to get that one item that's on your regular grocery list, but all the Armageddon hoarders have bought out the stores because of a snowstorm. That's lovely. One of my favorites is when I go to the farm store and sweet Miss, you know, Betty is in there writing a check for a $7 purchase and it takes her 10 minutes. Messed up order at a restaurant. Or bad service, politics, political shenanigans that are going on. And then what about even with the brethren or church things? Anyone ever complained about a feast hall or how certain things were set up? Parking. Sometimes that one gets me. Then the apparent unnecessary need to have certain parking routines. I remember a feast not too many years ago that most all of us were at. It was a pretty dark hall, pretty steep floors, really tight aisles. And for half of the feast, something was broken or a fire exit or something, so they had everybody shoved into about two-thirds of that. Y'all remember that? And we may have still been wearing masks then. My memory could be wrong, but I seem to remember some dissatisfaction. Discontentment among us. So like I said, this isn't for or at anyone, but it's for and at all of us at the same time, isn't it? Because it's something that we all struggle with. Complaining is something that we all struggle with. And at first glance, it seems kind of harmless on the surface, right? We can complain about traffic. We can complain about the weather, uncomfortable halls, and a lot of these seemingly trivial things. It doesn't seem like a problem. God hasn't struck us down over it, right? I can't say that my life is dramatically changed in a way because I've complained about something. For the negative, you know, I don't complain and it's like, boom, I get hit in the head. But is it possible that maybe complaining is in fact a bigger deal? You know, is it maybe part of the matter of salvation? So we're going to answer that as we go through this more. But let's start and see what the consequences of complaining were for ancient Israel first. Start there. Think of that. So is it possible that complaining could in fact lead us to not inheriting eternal life? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. And I, for what it's worth, as you turn to 1 Corinthians 10, was told, if you need a little extra time today, it will be okay because we're playing a short video. Well, that short video wasn't quite as short as expected, so we're going to do our best, and we should be just fine. But 1 Corinthians 10, again, we're thinking about the consequences of complaining for ancient Israel. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then go down to verse 4. All drank the spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So just clearly establishing the fact that we're talking about ancient Israel here. Right? The rock was Christ. They followed the rock. And then we're going to go down to verse 5. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, when we see something like this, I think these are those little things that we should pay attention to. God was not well pleased. Why? Why was he not well pleased? If he was displeased with them, maybe that's something we should take note of to avoid so that he's not also displeased with us, right? Well, verse 6 through 9, get into that. I'm not going to read all of it. But in verse 6 through 9, these things became examples that we shouldn't lust, don't become idolaters, avoid sexual immorality, tempting Christ, and then pick up on it in verse 10 then. 1 Corinthians 10:10, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Seems serious enough to me. And if you ever thought of that, like complaining is put up there in the same category that displeased God with things such as lust, sexual immorality, idolatry, tempting Christ, and then complaining. You know, it almost seems just out of place in a way, doesn't it? So before we go any further, I thought, okay, let's check our bases. And we looked at the definition in the English of complaining, and it's exactly what we all know that it means. So I thought, let's double down here. The Greek word is gaguzo, something like that, right? But more importantly, the definitions, according to Strong's, for that word, complain, is to murmur, to mutter, grumble. It refers to those who confer in secret and of those who discontentedly complain. And the cooing of doves. So is there a disconnect? Yeah. In the English, there's no definition about the cooing of doves. Okay. That was a bad dad joke, wasn't it? Okay. Yeah, so other than the cooing of doves definition, these words essentially mean the same thing, don't they? You're murmuring, you're muttering, you're discontentedly complaining, you're annoyed, you're dissatisfied. So there's no doubt about what complaining is, brethren. And as we said, it greatly displeased God, and it kept Israel from entering the promised land. One of the things, among others, but is one of the things listed that kept Israel from entering the promised land. So to me, it seems serious enough business we should be taking note of. And if it was part of the reason they didn't inherit the promised land, you know, what kind of consequences could it have to us and our inheritance? So before you're thinking, hang on a minute, this is kind of getting out of proportion. He's going a little too far here. I want to talk a little bit about the difference between complaining and commenting. Okay? There's no way that something about complaining about the weather would keep me out of the kingdom of God. Right? Maybe. So let's talk about it. You know, just before church, another one of our members and I were talking about quite a few things, and I was thinking as we were talking, we talked about politics, we talked about the weather, we talked about certain city ordinances. I think that was the majority of it right there. And we express our opinions about it that maybe aren't what we would desire. But there's a difference between commenting about something, sharing your opinion with someone, even disagreeing with someone, as there is with actually complaining. Okay, so what is the difference? How do we know the difference between just commenting and complaining? See, I added this in on my way here, so just winging that part, and we're going to get to it. The difference is, brethren, is that commenting and complaining are going to come out differently because they are a reflection of what's in the heart. Okay? And we'll get to that in just a minute. But as we keep going on here and thinking about this, thinking about, well, is this complaining such a big deal? You know, just because complaining about the weather or about, you know, the traffic might not keep us out of the kingdom of God, is that something we should be okay with and still continue to do? Or is it something we should kind of keep in check and try to work on? And I think that's going to depend on what we're using as our guide and our standard. You know, what level are we trying to hold ourselves to? So let's stay in 1 Corinthians 10 and go back to that verse 10. As we said, Israel had a problem. It kept them out of the promised land. So we're going to read verse 10 again, thinking about, is it really this big of a deal? Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. And in verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. So we're to learn from that example, right? Complaining is no bueno. Now, in the rest of this chapter, Paul continues to talk about idolatry, specifically about food that was sacrificed to idols. And then we cruise on over to chapter 11 and verse 1. Imitate me. Sorry, I'll let you get there. Chapter 11 and verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 10. Thinking about this, is it really that big of a deal to complain about these seemingly trivial things? 11 verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Well, did Christ complain? Not that I'm aware of. Not based on anything we have recorded in the Bible. He was emotional. He stated things. He made comments, didn't he? He cried out to God. He was angry, right? Think of those that were defiling the temple. He was disappointed in his disciples at times. Find them sleeping. He was anguished. And he asked God if there was another way. But in all that he went through, he never complained. So if we're to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ, and ultimately we should imitate Christ, if he didn't complain, should we? And I just find it kind of a speculative thought, but with all of what we do have recorded and what we do know about Jesus Christ, no record that he complained about any of that. So did he complain about it being too hot? I don't know. I'm not going to say, but it makes you wonder, right? Makes you wonder, because complaining is a reflection of your heart, as I said. And if you start to think about it like that, I think it starts to cut a little bit deeper. So what is it then about this complaining that's such a big deal? And this is kind of where my notes got flipped. It is, as I said, a matter of the heart. It's put up there with the same kinds of sins as lust, idolatry, sexual immorality, tempting Christ. I mean, those are big ticket items. And to our human nature, it's almost something like they don't even correlate, right? Well, how is complaining on the same par as those things? But the fact is that it is, because all of those, again, reflect the heart. Let's turn to James 1. And I will tell you, brethren, since I've been on this topic and thinking on this, it's been a bit brutal to myself, you know? And I think my wife could relate, and just, it's like, man, this is tough, and it's serious business. And so to some extent, I hope that it kind of hits us. You know, I don't know how deep you maybe have thought of this more. I know we don't complain on big things that I'm aware of, and you know, but it's just this little stuff. And we'll get into that too. So let's go to James first. James 1, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So as we see here and as we know, the tongue and the words that we say and how we say them are really just the physical expression of what's in our heart, isn't it? But I want to ask you, and I asked my wife to make sure I wasn't at least the only one. With all the times you've read this scripture, and we've seen it, read it, studied it, have you ever thought of this in the context of not complaining? You know, maybe you have, but I can tell you that wasn't the case for me. When I think of this, bridling my tongue to control my heart, I think of the language I use. I think of how I talk to others, or maybe how I talk about others, so kind of that, the delivery of my speech. And I think about the tactfulness of my speech, listening to others, speaking slowly, you know, not jumping to conclusions. And those things definitely do apply. But what about bridling the tongue by not complaining? I think, as a matter of fact, that may be the primary focus of James 1. Because when you look at James 1, what is it all about? In totality, go back to James 1 and verse 2. Does your Bibles have the little subtitles? Profiting from trials. James 1 and verse 2. Brethren, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now go to verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So James is telling us here that we're going to go through trials, right? And we are going to be tempted, not by God, but by our own desires, our own selfish desires. And then as he goes on through, you know, chapter 1, it talks about being doers of the word and not hearers only. And then what is part of doing the word? Circle back down to verse 26. Controlling your tongue, bridling your tongue, and therefore bridling your heart. Not complaining when you go through those trials, whether they're big or whether they're small. Not complaining about the temptations that we have to endure, whether they're big or they're small. Like I said before, the biggest problem with complaining isn't the words that are coming out from our mouth. It's the fact that they start in our heart, brethren. So if you don't complain, don't complain. Control your tongue by not complaining. And then in turn, you're controlling your heart, okay? You're bridling your heart by not complaining. And that's why it's such a big deal. It's not the words. It's where it comes from. Let's turn over to Luke 6. Luke 6, and we're going to go to verse 45. Just to double down on this point a little bit, because this really is kind of the foundation of why complaining is such a big deal. Luke 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Okay, like we said and like we know, the mouth is just the faucet that flows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So if we're complaining by nature, what does that reflect of our heart? Let's turn to one more and go back to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. And verse 3. So Proverbs 19:3 really says about the same thing. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. So again, brethren, we don't want to be fretting against the Lord by complaining about things, do we? The matter of complaining is a matter of character, is what it is. Even in those small things. So with that, let's kind of move on to the next point here. And that would be, why is it that we complain? Okay, we know what complaining is. We've seen consequences that it can bring to ancient Israel. We know that it's a matter of the heart and character. So why is it that we do it? Has complaining ever helped you or changed anything? I kind of like the farmer, you know, why do you complain about things you can't control? I can tell you that I've never complained about being sore, maybe after working or working out, and suddenly felt better, ready to go. I've never complained about sweating like a horse, you know, in the summer. I'm a profuse sweater, so when it's summertime, I'm dripping wet. And then complain and a cool breeze blew over me and the temperature dropped 20 degrees. And even more serious things, you know, whatever trials you have. Health, finances, attitudes, you know, sins that we're working on that are outside of complaining, because complaining about any of it ever really changed anything at all? Don't think so. Not that I'm aware of. I'm not speaking for everyone. I'm just speaking for myself. So the point is, we complain because it is part of our selfish and prideful human nature. You know, if you remember a couple months back, I was gave a message about the deceitfulness of pride. And as I've started thinking about this, really complaining is another element of pride that could be umbrellaed underneath that. Just ask yourself, with every complaint, what is either in the beginning, the middle, or the end? I. Right? I'm at the center of it all. It's all about me and what I want or how I feel, what I think I need, what I'm going through. Woe is me, right? And we have some serious trials. We have some serious temptations. But there's a way to get through those without complaining. And like I said, it is just another form of pride, because anytime that we put our lusts and desires and our thoughts ahead of God's, that is pride. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 1, I told you to turn, I suppose I should turn myself, right? Second Timothy 1, we'll read verse 1 through 5 here to start. Uh-oh, that's wrong chapter. I'm in 1 Timothy. Let me go to 2 Timothy, see if that's it. Sorry, 2 Timothy 3, typoed on my notes. I knew we were close. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. But know this, in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of men. Lovers of God rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but you can also think about the works of the flesh from Galatians 5. Just a few would be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, just to name a few of them, right? So I'm guessing, again, I think that we're all the same. We all have the same nature, right? So when we read here in 2 Timothy or Galatians 5, we probably don't directly associate ourselves with any of these things, do we? Maybe at some time in our life we have. There's elements of them that maybe we slip up on or we go through from time to time. But in general, I hope that, and I don't think that any of us here would say we are traitors, right, by nature, or we are headstrong. At least I hope not. But looking at this through the lens of complaining, pick out any one of these evil, they are evil attributes, works of the flesh. And at its core is going to be a heart and a character of complaining. It's about what I want, what I want. Think about it. Lovers of money. I don't have enough. I want more. They're complaining about it. Disobedient to parents. I don't want to listen to you. I want to do it my way. Unthankful. Well, I deserve more. Why does he have more than me? The list could go on and on. Headstrong. Well, if they would have done it my way, it wouldn't have been a problem. Unforgiving. Well, they shouldn't have done that to me. If they'd be better, I'll forgive them when they change. Right? There's an element of complaining that is the core to every one of these, brethren. Somebody at some point didn't endure a trial. They didn't endure a temptation. They complained. And that complaining is the catalyst. It's the spark that lights the fire of the sin. So in that light, I'll ask the question again. Could complaining keep us out of the kingdom of God? Can pride? Can sin? I think the answer is yes, right? So if it goes left unchecked, complaining leads to pride and complaining leads to sin. It is the catalyst that ignites those sins, brethren. If you can't control your tongue by not complaining, then you can't control your heart. And if you can't control your heart, you're ruled by pride. And when you're ruled by pride, you're bound to sin. That is the process. And a person ruled by sin will not enter the kingdom of God. We're told that in Galatians. Now, let me be clear. I am talking about people who are ruled by sin. I'm not saying, again, that we're going to miss out. All of us in this room are doomed because we got frustrated that the Walmart is always out of everything, right? That's not what I'm saying, but it's something we need to be thinking about because it is a deeper issue of the heart, brethren. The common phrase, we've heard this before from one of our past ministers, I think. He talked about people say the devil's in the details. And that's not true. It's the opposite of true. Satan is vague. Satan is broad brush. He wants us to pass over these things and think, well, it's not that big of a deal. Lower our standards to human standards. We're not hurting anyone. Oh, well, I said this kind of negative thing. That's not the way it is. God is in the details. Right? He's in the little things. He wants us to be faithful over these little things so we can be faithful over much. Right? We need to bring all thoughts into captivity. Complaining's not excluded from that. And when you really get down to it, like I've said several times, complaining is an issue of character and attitude and the heart. So if we can't make the effort to control our tongue now in these small things, what will happen to us? Where will our heart be when real trials come along and real temptations come along? So what do we do? Complaining is a serious matter, something we should all strive to overcome, yet it's so easy to do. And so it just happens without even thinking about it. It does. Well, that brings me back to the story I told about my family, about the kids, and the day we didn't go to town. We had a little meeting that evening, and I gave them the slightly more condensed, probably more, let's say, passionate dad version of this message. And in short, it was something along the lines of, I am sick of the complaining. Complaining is sin. And there will be no more complaining in this house about anything ever. I think we might have made it through that night without complaining, probably because nobody talked to each other. But the next day, at least one of the boys complained about something, probably each other. I have no doubt I complained about something at work. And it's a sure bet. My wife complained about the boys complaining and the house being a mess and nobody likes what she cooked for dinner and, you know, why does she try, right? So I guess my motivational dad speeches need some work. But in all seriousness, what is it that we can do to overcome this just inherent nature of complaining? Let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So step one, brethren, in overcoming this complaining attitude and heart is that we need to realize this is something each of us as individuals must work on. You know, there's certain things, certain elements of our Christian walk that we can do together. And I guess there's certain ways we could talk to and try to help others to get over this. But at the end of the day, whose mouth is your tongue in? Unless you're kissing somebody, I guess. Your wife, right? Probably shouldn't say stuff like that. Your tongue is not in my mouth. Right, and mine is not in yours. I cannot control what your tongue does and says, and you can't control mine, and therefore I can't control your heart either, can I? This is an item that we need to work out with our own fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. We need to remember that God is working in us. You know, he might be working with us, and when we're baptized and have his Spirit, he's working in us. We aren't our own being anymore once we've received his Holy Spirit. We should look to that Spirit and guide us in all things. Put off that old man in every way, that old complaining human nature, every day. And also we see that God is working to do his will, okay? Not ours. It's not about all about what we want or how we feel or what we think we need. It's about to accomplish his will and his purpose. We have to keep that at the forefront of our minds every day. We can't lose sight of that. You know, it may not be easy. We know that it won't always be easy. But that doesn't give us license to complain, does it? I mean, Christ didn't. He went through a whole lot worse than we did. And then verse 14. If we can do those things, right? Remember, it's up to us. Work out our own fear and salvation with fear and trembling. Remember that God is working in us. It's not just us doing this. It's God working in us to overcome. He's working for his good pleasure. And if we can focus on that, then in verse 14, hopefully we can get to the point that we can do all things without complaining and disputing. But you know what's even more interesting? Is go to verse 15. So that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. So on top of all the other things we covered, when you look at this scripture again, do you think complaining or not complaining is kind of important? He kept Israel out of the promised land. Here it's telling us that it's basically a prerequisite to be blameless and harmless before God. So we need to learn how to be able to do things without complaining to become pure. So that's kind of the first step. That's the outline. And this is where we'll wrap up here, brethren. That's the head knowledge of how to do it, right? We control our tongue. God's working with us. We need to do these things. We understand the importance of it. But what about more of the practical side? You know, it's easy to say, and it's so much harder to do. So let's just stay in Philippians and go to chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 11. Paul again saying, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." It doesn't just come natural. He wasn't just sprinkled contentment dust over him, right? He learned how to be content. "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned." Again, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. "I have learned to be full and to be hungry, to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So again, Christ being in us is at the core of it. That's going to be the pinnacle way of how we can be successful. But it takes effort on our part. So I'd still kind of ask, well, how did Paul learn this? How did he learn it? Stay in Philippians and just go back up to verse 4. So Philippians 4, verse 4. How do we learn this? Well, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't complain. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to men. The Lord is at hand. And then verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Brethren, the fact is, trials are going to come, and temptations are going to come. Some will be hard, others will be seemingly trivial, right? But Scripture makes it clear that the matter of complaining is not trivial. It was part of the reason Israel didn't enter the promised land. It is the catalyst that fuels so many other sins that we read in 2 Timothy and in Galatians. And those sins, if they take root, can keep us from the eternal gift that God wants to give us. So brethren, let's not let that happen. Every day, work to bridle our tongues, but more importantly, control our hearts. Remember to praise God. Be thankful, take our requests to Him, and know that He's working in us to work out His purpose, not what we want. So like I told my kids, just quit complaining.